Well, if you have your Bibles with you tonight, I'm going to ask that you open to the book of Psalms, Psalm 37, and a wonderful little passage here, and just some key points that I want to bring out in this beautiful Psalm, Psalm chapter 37, or Psalm 37. I ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word, beginning in verse number 1. See if that sounds like something we might need for today. Fret not. I can stop right there. Amen. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Fret not. Kind of kept showing back up there. David is looking at the age-old question, why do the wicked prosper? Why do those that have their backs turned away from God seem to do so well in the world? But he also reminds us of where our proper focus needs to be. And I can look at where he's looking at. I can see the application today. What do we do with the problems that we're facing today? Anybody agree that there's problems in the world? Political problems and social problems and economic problems and lots of things that we deal with, and everyone in the world seems to be focused on their own life, focused on their own ways and their own prosperity. And we have a tendency to get caught up in worrying and fretting about those that prosper, about those that are working evil. And I see five lessons, actually six, but five lessons here we're going to look at on how to deal with problems in difficult times. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. Father, the opportunity we have to be here. Father, to look into your word. Father, the book of Psalms, Father, is a song of encouragement. Father, throughout these 150 Psalms, Father, it is any time that we're feeling discouraged, Father, we can open up this song book and, Father, find encouragement, just as with this passage tonight. Father, you take control of this service and this message. Father, encourage us, lift us up. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you what, you know, in all the problems, in all the different things we can deal with, I think of all the times throughout the Bible it talks about fear not. Every time an angel appeared to somebody, it says, fear not. Okay, the angel appeared to Joseph and said, fear not. The angel appeared to Zacharias and said, fear not. Throughout the Bible, we see fear not. Okay, hey, God's got this, right? Here, David is starting off with the words, fret not. Fret. That's one of those words that we use every day in our language, don't we? Grandparents, maybe you. I know my grandmother used to talk about fretting. And I know if you're raised in the South, you might hear fret more often than you do other places. So what is the word fret? Well, I looked it up, and Webster's 1828 describes it this way: to wear away by friction, to corrode, to gnaw, to eat away, agitation of the mind, irritation, worry. That's a pretty good definition of fret. To wear away by friction. Things that come at us to just kind of rub you. Know what I'm talking about? The Bible says, fret not. You know, I'm reminded of Peter when he was out walking on the waves. Remember that story of Peter? out walking on the waves. Jesus, if that's you, call me out there. And he walks out there. And as soon as he got out there, Peter started looking at the waves and the storm around him and began to fret, began to worry, took his eyes off of Christ and began to sink. And we do that same thing when we get our eyes off the prize, when we get our eyes off of God, and we start to look at the world around us, and we start to fret. It starts to rub against us. It starts to wear on us. And I got to looking at this. Why do we do that? When I think about what's out in the world, we've got a liberal media that's so agenda-driven, they wouldn't know the truth if it was in flashing neon. Okay? We've got social media that's been so corrupted by rumor and gossip that common sense has been replaced with nonsense. But yet we want to fret and worry about what we find and what we see out there. Fret not. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. I'm reminded, anybody remember the, was it the second Bush that used to use that word evildoers? Evildoers, the senior. Bush, was that the first one or the second one? I don't remember. I got the two of them mixed up. But he was always talking about those evildoers. Oh, got to watch out for them evildoers. What is an evildoer? Well, simply one that does evil, I would assume, right? The Hebrew there talks about one who is physically, socially, or morally corrupt. Morally corrupt. One that is so caught up in the cares of this life and the things of this world, have no idea or no focus at all on the things of eternal. And why should we fret ourselves? Why should we get ourselves worried about someone or be envious of someone like that? Someone that's lost and on their way to a devil's hell? Someone that's so caught up in the cares and the things of this life, and we want to be envious of that? I don't. Fret not. Don't allow the things of this world to rub you the wrong way. You know, there's an advantage to, and a disadvantage, if you think about it, to have an instant communication. Amen? Anybody else remember, I know when I was growing up, we had the phone on the wall. And you know, the big thing back then was to go down to the store to buy a longer cord so that you could walk a little bit further around the house with this curlicue cord that attached you to the wall. Okay? Anybody remember doing that? Okay? I mean, you know, when they came out with cordless phones, that was great. I could talk to you while I was standing in the other room without playing jump rope with the grandkids. But it was also the days where you had that old rotary dial. Amen. Remember that old rotary dial? Had dialing, depending on where you were, anywhere from 5 to 7 numbers. Now you got to dial 10, but that's all right. Most of us don't dial numbers. They're the ones you crank and you had to get an operator on. Yeah, that was even worse. But where I'm thinking is, you know, when we had those phones, if you weren't home, there were no answering machines. Thank goodness. It rang and rang and rang and rang and rang and rang and rang. And okay, well, I guess they're not home. I'll call them later. We now live in a day of instant communication. Gotta have it, gotta know it right now. If it's happening anywhere in the world, I want the alert on my smartphone so I can see instantly what is happening anywhere around the world. We get caught up in that, and there are advantages to it, I suppose, and you instantly know what's going on. And you know, my wife needs something, she can call me and I'll answer the phone. And church folks call me, I answer the phone. Something going on, I'll answer the phone. Somebody says, hey, did you see this going on? I can go out and I can find the information. And there's an advantage to being able to have that. But there's also a disadvantage. The disadvantage is that you instantly know all of the problems the speculations, the rumors, the gossip, the issues that are going on out in the world and what everybody's opinion about it. And all that seems to do is to bring up our worry and stress. Amen. And we wonder why many of us are losing hair. Stress. What was the little cartoon about stress? Had a picture of the zebra with the stripes that were falling off the back of him. He says, I think I'm having stress. We get so caught up in that instant age of notification that all it does is add to our stress. But this psalm starts off with the very first lesson for us, fret not. Why do we worry? Why do we turn into things? Why do we have to know everything? And then we get so worried about what we're seeing or what we're hearing because of this rumor, that speculation, somebody doing this and adding this, and suddenly we're getting all this worry. All worry does is choke out the Word of God. I can tell you just over this last year, and it's easy to get consumed in the worry of the world, that we'll spend time researching the news and trying to find this answer and trying to find that answer, and unfortunately we stop looking at the good news because worry gets in the way of the Word. Worry adds to our anxiety. It adds to our stress. It simply creates more of a problem, and it weighs down the heart. The key to living worry-free, fret not. I know that sounds easy, doesn't it? Let not your heart be troubled, John 14:1. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. We need to put our trust in Christ, that He's the one that knows what's going on. God is in control of this world. God knows what's happening. And we need to put our trust in Him, not in what we're seeing on the evening news or on Facebook. I won't even try to mess with the other one there, but it's just, fret not. Which, by the way, trusting leads me to my next point. Look down with me to verse number 3. Trust in the Lord. How about that? Fret not and trust in God. Trust, total reliance under stressful times. How's that? Trust in the Lord. The cure for fretting is faith. Lord, I'm trusting you. The cure for worry is worship. You know, it's kind of hard to be worried and get upset about things if you're singing songs like Amazing Grace. Amen. It's hard to get tangled up in the cares of life if you're singing about count your blessings. It's hard to get distracted if we're reading out of the Psalms. Amen? Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in ourselves regardless of the circumstances. Trust in God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I love the passage. Most of us can quote it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. We need to place our trust in God. Amen? If we had our trust in God, there'd be a little bit less worry. Amen? I know Dad's got it. Amen. He also tells, I can look at several verses, but one I think about is over there in Peter. It talks about casting our cares on Him, for He cares for us. Give Him the problem. Let Him take care of it. Lord, I can look at the world around us. I can look at Your Word, and Your Word says that these things shall come to pass. It's going to be like this. But Lord, I've read the end of the book. I know where You're headed. And I know that You're the one that's in control between where we are and where we're going. And Lord, I'm just going to trust You that You're going to do it. Amen? And so we trust in the Lord. That's one way to help us in the problems that we're in, the days that we're in, is to trust in God. Okay? Verse number 3 continues. It says, it just doesn't say stop. It doesn't just stop at trust in the Lord. The next three words is, and do good. Yeah, if you want to have a little fun, look up the word good in a dictionary. Webster's 1828, I want to say it has like three columns of definition for the word good. I'm not going to try to give you all the definitions of the word good. But I can tell you that from a biblical standpoint, what is good is God's word. And doing things that are in accordance to God's word. Doing things that are right by God's word. Trust in the Lord and follow what we know to be true. Trust in the Lord and do what He's asked us to do. What has He asked us to do? Turn it over to Him. Be careful for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And that peace that passes understanding. Amen. You want peace? Pray. Follow the word. Trust the Lord and do good. And when we do that, that verse continues and it says, verily, at the end of the verse, verily thou shalt be fed. Do you realize that when we trust God and we follow what His Word says, He takes care of everything we need? I don't have to fret and worry about all the problems of life when I am following what He told me to do. Because if I'm following what He told me to do, then He's the one responsible for taking care of it. Amen? Amen! Amen! And I want you to think about this. The Good Shepherd knows us. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Amen. He not only knows the hairs on our head, the freckles on our nose, but He knows what we need before we know that we need it. And when we realize that He knows what we need before we need it, and we trust in Him for what He said He's going to provide, and we focus on what He said, putting God first, seek ye first the kingdom of God, He'll take care of everything else. Amen. Feeding on that thought, come and dine, and you'll fret not. Amen? Amen. Lesson number three, look down to verse number four. Delight. I'm going to pause right there for a minute. I remember Brother Robert Marvin, evangelist, that was here. He comes here every year about September, does our missions conference. And a year or two ago, he was in here talking about delighting in ice cream. You remember him talking about that if you were here for that? My wife's going, amen, and she knows that. And she knows that this preacher delights in ice cream. Amen? Amen. There's a joy. There's an over-exuberance. There's an excitement that regardless what's going on, a dish of ice cream will pretty much solve the problem. Amen? Amen. Whew. Don't tell my doctor I said that. Amen. I know, of course, you can't have ice cream without putting all that diabetic sauce over the top of it. But that's our, yeah. Anyway, but delight in the Lord, it says. That high degree of pleasure, satisfaction, to receive great pleasure in. Sadly, many of us as Christians, when we think about God, as we come to God in prayer like Eeyore. Oh, God, I've got this problem. I've got this issue. I've got that issue. Lord, the world's falling apart at the seams. When's the last time you delighted in the Lord? Today, this morning, right now, amen. Anytime there's something coming at me, Lord, I just thank you that you're bigger than anything I'm facing. Lord, you're greater than any problem that we're going to stand against. Lord, there's pleasure in seeking and following you. Amen. Delight in the Lord. Look to Him. Find joy in Him. And when we put God as the focus of our affections, our eyes are on Him, then we delight in His character. We delight in His love. We delight in the joy of that He brings and that peace that He brings. Amen. Amen. When we delight thyself also in the Lord, look at this, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, I'm not talking about, okay, Lord, if I delight in the Lord, there's going to be a brand new car out front for me. No, that's not what that's talking about. Typically, when we get worried, when things are coming at us, Lord, there's problems. My grandkids don't know you. My neighbors are lost. Lord, this world is having trouble. Lord, I just need a way to be able to share one more. And Lord, I'm going to find delight in you. And you know, when we do that, He gives us that desire of our heart. He will lead us to the person that we can share with, someone that is in hopelessness and despair and discouragement and just needs that lifting up. Amen? He'll lead us to the desires of our heart. You know, we look at the problems in the world and you ask, you know, what's the biggest need? God. Would love to have peace and unity. And this last year has been a year of disunity and division. You go this way, I go that way. And we're going to think like we're going to think differently. No, we want unity. That's a desire. I think of Paul with his desire for the Jews. He was willing to go to hell so they could get the gospel. That's the desire of our heart as we trust in the Lord, as we find delight in Him. He will give us that desire. He will lead us to where we need. Lord, help me to just get a smile on my face to keep going. Amen? Amen. Lesson number 4. I'm just going to keep right on going here. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit. You know, I had a little fun looking at getting committed or talking about being committed. I told one of the preacher friends of mine, I said, you know what I want for Christmas? I want one of those jackets that ties in the back. That's not the commit I'm talking about. Although some of you will agree that the preacher does need to be committed sometimes. But institutionally committed, right? That word commit literally means to roll it over on. To roll it over on. Commit it to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to put things in your hands and your power, and I'm going to trust you with it. I'm going to commit this problem to you. I'm giving it and rolling it over to you. That's what that word is talking about. Okay? This is not simply a commitment, our part, but a giving and rolling the problem and entrusting God with it. Commit it unto the Lord. Commit ourselves to the Lord. Commit thy problem to the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit the problems we've got. Commit our lives to Him. Roll them over onto Him and trust Him for it. We sing a song in our hymnal. It's based out of 2 Timothy 1:12. For which cause I suffer all these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. What I have rolled over onto Him, what I have entrusted Him with, what I have turned over to Him, I know that He can handle it. Amen. Amen? Just committing it to Him, to be fully committed, means to be persuaded of the truth. I know God can take care of it. I look at the problems on the news, and I look at the problems in the paper, and I look at the problems over here and the problems over there. We hear from missionaries around the world that are dealing with government problems in their areas, and lockdowns and restrictions and just backwards everything, as it seems like the whole world is getting away from the truth. Lord, there's problems everywhere we look. But instead of me getting caught up in everything, Lord, I'm going to roll it all over to You. I'm going to trust You with it. Oh, thank You, Lord, for letting us to be, or allowing us to be able to do that. Because let me kind of recap here. Fret not. Okay? Don't get worried. Don't get rubbed the wrong way. Don't allow things to rub you raw or to gnaw on you or to chew on you. But trust in the Lord. Depend on Him. Amen. Amen. put our delight, put a smile on her face. I've never seen anybody frown that's delighting. Amen. Lord, you've got this. I'm going to trust you with it. Lord, I'm rolling it onto you. I'm committing it unto your way. Verse number 7, when we do these things, when we start following these lessons of fret not and trust, delight and commit, what we find is rest in the Lord. Rest. I know I love coming to church. That's the best rest I get all week. Amen. No. I know the best nap I get's when the preacher's preaching. Hey, man. Resting in the Lord. Oh, that word rest in the Hebrew literally means to be silent, to hold your peace, not to murmur. This is not sleeping. Although, when I look at the church in general today, I can tell you for the last probably 40 or 50 years easily, the church in America has been asleep. And it's time to wake up out of sleep. But the rest that we're talking about here is to not to murmur and complain, to not look for things that distract us and pull us, but to find that peace in the Lord, to find that rest in Him that allows me, as the storms are raging out in the world, to come to Him and just be silent in front of Him, just to be at peace and at ease with Him, to have that quietness of heart with Him. And resting in the Lord because I've committed to Him the cares and concerns of this life and this world. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I may not understand why an election goes the way it goes. I may not understand why a bombing happens in a city on Christmas Day. I may not understand the turmoil in our world. But I can find that even Noah, in the days that he was in, was at rest in the Lord. Lord, you want me to do this? I'm going to do it. You want me to tell others there's a judgment coming? There's a judgment coming. But Lord, my heart is focused on you. And I'm going to rest and trust that you've got it all taken care of. Resting in the Lord. Amen. Oh, and when we rest in Him, when we rest our problems on Him and allow Him to take care of it, there's a wonderful place for the soul. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, part of what the biggest problem we have in America today and probably around the world today is we're all trying to carry the load of the circus that is out in the world, all looking and seeking for answers instead of laying that at the foot of the cross and resting in God's provision. Oh, let's rest in the Lord. Let's take those loads we've got and just give it to Him. To rest in the Lord, to find that peace, that silence in the Lord. What was it that Elijah dealt with? After dealing with the 450 prophets of Baal, here he sees the clouds starting and rain's coming. He tells Ahab the rain is coming. He outruns Ahab, and we know the passage. And then Jezebel makes the threat against Elijah. And Elijah heads out to the wilderness under a juniper tree, and the angel comes to him and feeds him. And here's these things. We know the story. And he's in a cave, and this fire and this earthquake and all these big thundering things all come by him. And God wasn't in that. But God was in that still, small voice. And it is only when we find rest in the Lord, when we can sit down and quietly come before Him, and humbly before Him in prayer and in supplication and just in adoration and worship, and come before Him, that there's that quiet silence of peace in His presence. He is, after all, the Prince of Peace, is He not? Amen. So rest in the Lord. And you know, I could stop at this point. I mean, there's five beautiful lessons. Fret not thyself. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And I could stop there. I mean, this is some wonderful, wonderful lessons. And if we would just synchronize our life to His timetable, realize He's the one in control. God, I know that whatever happens, You're the one that's going to be in control. And Lord, You've already promised me I'm going to be in Your presence forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And as long as I've got my eyes, my heart focused there, what can this world do to me? Amen. And we have peace in the midst of problems. I'm going to have a little fun here, because in this Bible, it's the one I preach out of and I use. Verse number 7 is the bottom of the page. And there's times that you could stop there and just say, wow, man, that's a great point. I can see there's 5 points in there. Hey, man, that's a great sermon, right? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Amen. Lord, Your time, not mine. Fret not. Don't get worried about those who prosper in their own way. But look at verse 8. We're going to add another one for you. Cease from anger. And you know, it'd be real easy to simply say, well, this is talking about not losing your temper. Okay? And many folks, including me, sometimes have an issue with temper. And it's good to be able to control our temper. Amen? My wife is going, amen. I mean, she heard me talk about this earlier and she was shouting out glory. Preacher, preach it to yourself. Cease from anger. That'd be great, but that's not exactly what this is talking about. Although that's a good point. When we're angry, we have a tendency to only see red and we don't see the truth. But that word anger, that word cease, excuse me, in the Hebrew, talks about to become slack. To relax. Who? To let drop. To leave alone. Leave anger alone. Let the problem drop. Now, I could easily say, oh, we'll see all the cares in life, all the wrong that's out in life. Preacher, are you just saying we need to ignore that and let it drop? No, that's not what I'm saying. We still need to stand on truth. But the problem is we can get so focused in our minds thinking of all the injustices that we have to fix, that we have to stand against, that we have to rise up and shout out our voice in retaliation and vengeance because we have been dealt wrongly. Cease. Let that go. Two reasons I can give you. One, when we hold that vengeance and that anger and we feel like we have to right the wrong, all we're doing is adding to our stress. All we're doing is adding to our worry. And didn't verse 1 tell us to fret not? Verse 3 tells us to trust in the Lord. Delight in Him. Commit, roll it over to Him, rest in the Lord. If we're dealing with all the frustrations and we have to go do this, then we're not doing the other. Yes, we need to stand against the injustices. Yes, we need to stand against immorality and call sin, sin. But we need to let God take care of it. We fight the battle on our knees. We fight the battle in His Word. We fight the battle by sharing His truth, not our opinion. Number one, it raises our stress. Number two, Romans 12, I want to say around verse 19, Paul talks about, as it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And by the way, he's quoting out of Deuteronomy, I want to say around chapter 32. Vengeance belongs to God. I can call sin, sin, but I need to do it in love. I need to love the sin or hate the sin. I need to be in prayer for our government leaders, whether I agree with them or not. Whether they're right, wrong, or indifferent, I still need to pray for the people holding public office. Because one day they're going to stand in front of God. And I need to let go of any feelings of ill will or anger or frustration or vengeance that I might, because I feel I was wrong, and let God take care of it. Oh, what some great lessons for us today and in the world we're living in. Tomorrow, I have no idea what tomorrow will bring. You know, that rapture could happen tonight, we're out of here. Amen. The time of the Gentiles be done. Off we go. But you know, He might still have us here for a little while. And in that meantime, we need to stand on the truth and we need to trust God. God, it's your fight. God, it's your way. Lord, help me to follow you in the battle, not to run ahead of you. We were talking with a gentleman today at lunch, served in Vietnam in the Army. And thank you for those that have served. I appreciate your service and your dedication. But if I think about those in the Army, and by the way, we're in the Army of the Lord. The soldiers on the field follow the instructions of the commander. And they follow the leadership of the commander. As we deal with the battle that's in the world around us, we need to follow the leadership of the commander. Amen. It's not my problem to fret over. It's not my problem to get angry and frustrated and all bent out of shape about. I just need to trust in Him and let Him take care of the problem. Because He will in His time. And who knows? Maybe in the meantime, as we're out on that battlefield, there might be one that we can share a gospel message with. There might be one that we can pull from the hellfire and from the pits of fire and bring to the glory of God. Maybe there's one we can reach that is struggling with hopelessness and struggling with the blinders of hate and the blinders of stress. And we can tell them how to find peace in the Lord by trusting the Prince of Peace. Oh, what some beautiful lessons as we're looking today. As we're looking at this beautiful psalm, oh, how rich the psalms are. God's timing is best. Trust in Him. You know, as I think about it, this psalm, the heading underneath it says it was a psalm of David. David was a shepherd who became a king, who through his psalm points us to the great shepherd and the King eternal. Our song service tonight fed right into this, looked right at it, fit right together. Look and live. Look to Jesus and live. come and dine with his manna. He doth feed and supplieth every need. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. Let me know. Let me learn. Showing the things of Christ to me. Lord, show me your way. And then Lord, help me not to just simply read it, but to heed it. To grow from it. To head out this next week and these next days and these next hours and months or years or however much longer we're here. And Lord, to keep in mind that by your word I am to fret not. I'm to trust you. I'm to delight in the fact that you're the one that's going to take care of it all. I need to roll the problem. I need to commit it to you and give it to you, and that's where I find my rest. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. Father, thank you for this psalm of David. Father, thank you for this psalm of a shepherd penned almost 3,000 years ago, but relevant today. Father, go with us now as we head out into the battlefield. And Father, as we head out into that battlefield, help us to find rest in you. Father, to stand firm in that army, but Father, to follow the chief. Father, looking to you, the author, the finisher of our faith. Father, looking forward to being in your presence when that time comes. But Father, even before we can stand in your presence physically, we are still in your presence here as citizens of heaven. Father, help us to rest in the finished work of the cross and to just simply rest in you. In Jesus' name, amen.